from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days that you received the light when you were in great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I know, take no pleasure in one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In our second reading, Jesus comforts his disciples. It's from the Gospel of John. Chapter 14, verses 1 to 6, it's on page 1082 of our church Bibles. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Song that Abide With Me is, don't you think? Because in many ways it's the answer to persevering when there are troubles, when other helpers fail and comforts flee. Help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. And when we invite God to abide with us, to stay with us, to remain with us, to live with us, he's only too delighted to do that, as you know, we just have to make him welcome. Around the world, we know that Christians are suffering, and they're in wars, they're being persecuted, And they really have to persevere. They really need to be able to persevere in faith. But we too are in a struggle, in a war, in a battle. And there's all kinds of things that assail us, that move us away from our Christian faith. Increasingly, the world's messages and attitudes and values are so pervasive that increasingly they're coming into the church in amongst Christians. And so it's just as relevant for us, really, that we have a faith which perseveres. Now, some people have asked me, Melvin, what are you going to do when you retire? I don't know yet. It's not till end of next September. And I'm actually much more focused on what I'm going to do before I retire. Actually, what I really mean is what God is going to do. And before I retire, I'm hoping and praying that for us here, that every one of us is a full-on Christian. Every one of us is growing more like Jesus. That we're all growing in the knowledge of God and experience of God, and we're having new adventures with God. Now, is that what you want? Anybody? Yes? Because I can't actually make it happen for you. Only you can. Okay? And I just want to throw out two things that will help you to persevere and help you to grow, keep growing as a Christian, and be someone who's experiencing God, having new adventures with God. And the first thing I want to point to is our mindset. And because our mindset can be such that, as I've just said what I've said, and you've thought, well, actually, I'm fine as I am. I haven't changed for the last 30 years, and I'm not going to change anymore. You know, that's it. And I don't even know what he's talking about when he talks about experience with God, new adventures with God. I haven't got a clue what that means. And you might have a mindset that I can't be that person. Okay? Well, you can. And what I would invite you to do is change your mindset, or ask God to help you to change your mindset, so that you're totally open to any experience of God, to anything that God might do. Now, bear in mind this, right? He is not going to make you do stuff that makes you look a fool, or makes people laugh at you, or make you hurt, or make you cry. He's going to be gentle, he's going to be caring, and he's going to give you excitement and joy and fun, new experiences, new adventures, which are all going to be from God. So that's the first thing. Change your mindset. Say no to fears. Say no to mediocrity as a Christian. Right? And say yes to whatever God's got. Okay? Secondly, you know, growing as a Christian is all about becoming more like Jesus. And we become more like Jesus when we abide with him, and also when we do what Jesus did. Did Jesus pray? Did Jesus read his Bible? He knew it really well, didn't he? He quotes it umpteen times. Did Jesus abide with his Father? Did he spend much time with his Father? Yeah. Did Jesus love others? Did Jesus put love into action? So those are all the things we got to do, aren't they? Yeah, all of those things we have to do. Now bear in mind, I don't want you to become a Christian the way I see a Christian should be. Right? I'm not trying to, you know, my goal for when I leave isn't that everybody becomes little Melvins. Actually, less about the little. All right? You are going to become the person that God created you to be. And you are going to become the very best you that you could possibly be. As you have a mindset that says, I can do it. And as you strive just to be more like Jesus. Yeah? Actually, don't forget that word strive. Don't strive. Just allow God to help you to become more like Jesus. I purposely invited, Ed Walker and then Jackie to speak on my life in prayer. And you remember those talks. And I purposely said to them, look, guys, I don't want you to say you need to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and pray, you know, for 2 hours, and you need to be reading 3 chapters of the Bible every single day. I don't want you to put legalism onto people. I want people to feel free and able to be themselves. Yeah? And so they both did exactly that, which was great. And loads of people said, oh, it was so refreshing to hear someone talk about prayer and not tell me that I'm a terrible person because I don't pray enough. Right? So I was very pleased that they did that. But that doesn't mean that we don't pray, right? And it's okay, right? There is a balance between legalism, which is forcing myself to do this, that, and the other, and actually that's where the word strive does come in, and being the person God wants me to be. So whilst we have said, we don't want you to strive, we don't want you to get legalistic about what you do in your relationship with God, we do want you, and I want you, and actually, deep down, you probably want you to spend time in prayer, to spend time reading your Bible, yeah? Out of relationship with God, not out of striving because you must do this, you must do that, you must do the other, but out of your relationship with God. And if you do that, you will persevere, yeah? Okay, now, in today's reading, there are 8 responses, okay, for us to make. And those 8 will help us to grow into the Christians that God wants us to be, okay? So you need to have the Bible open at Hebrews 10, please. The writer of Hebrews knows that being a follower of Jesus is just amazing. And I know that. And I hope you know that. It's just amazing. But there are problems. There are difficulties. It's not easy. It's not at all easy. In fact, in some ways, when you become a Christian, that's when life really gets tough. Because of the challenges that God puts before us, the things that he wants us to do, etc., etc. And the writer of Hebrews has written about the incredible new covenant. We are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. He's written about that up to now. And here in chapter 10, because he knows that being a Christian isn't easy, because he knows that the Hebrews he's writing to have had it really difficult, he warns them of some dangers and encourages them and us to have persevering faith. So we should get into this, actually. But it's not working. Oh, I'll just turn it on. Okay, sorry, I should have had that up. Never mind. Okay, so he begins in this passage by speaking about what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has done for you. And so in verses 19 and 20, he says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And this is part of him saying, this is just absolutely incredible. This is just absolutely amazing. Because just supposing this is the curtain, right, and behind the curtain is the most holy place. Well, nobody could ever get in there in the old covenant except for the high priest. Now, he only did it once a year. And what happened when Jesus died? The curtain in the temple was torn in two. And what he's saying here is that that curtain represents Jesus' body because it was opened through the curtain. That is his body. And Jesus' body was torn in two. Jesus' body was broken. And so now this curtain's not there anymore, and we're all in. We're all in the most holy place with God. And so what an amazing thing that the Father has done. He's provided a new and living way open for us. Then the Son has given his blood. And he is the great high priest who didn't make sacrifices like all the other priests did, but he became the sacrifice. And in our other reading, John 14 speaks of Jesus preparing a place for you and for me now in heaven. And then the Spirit, he calls the Spirit of grace, because the Spirit is the one who works in us and through us, and he works in us and through us, and it's totally undeserved. You know, it's not about how good we are or whatever. It's just about loving God, you know. And the Spirit works in us to make us the best person, the best me I can possibly be. So that's amazing. So then he gets on to four faith-filled actions, right? So these are the first four of the responses that he suggests. And these are for us to do out of relationship. And the first one emphasizes the me and God relationship. And he says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled, that's with Jesus' blood, to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, and that's when we were baptized. Okay, so let us draw near to God. So we draw near to God by some of those things I've already mentioned. Read my Bible, praying, time with him. We draw near to God when we have that relationship that's so good that I know he's with me all the time, and I can talk to him anywhere. Then the next one is a bit about me and me, because it's about me making decisions every day. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. And this is about holding the hope we profess closely to us, so that it affects all my everyday actions, my choices, my decisions, and my speech, right? Because I have this hope in Christ, so it affects everything about me. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes, train yourself to be godly. And this is about training ourselves to be godly, holding on to that hope. Next one's about me and you. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And that's about fellowship. And I don't know if you've booked onto our weekend away yet, but that's going to be a great time of fellowship. You know, I've had a couple of questions. One question was, are we in dormitories? No. We're in rooms, luxurious rooms with Sky Sports. No, we haven't got Sky Sports TV. With ensuite in every room. Okay, it's going to be very, very comfortable. And then someone else said, is this going to be a service that lasts like for 48 hours, one long service? No. I like services, but not that much, okay? There's going to be lots of time for fun and for friendship and activity. In fact, we have like sessions when we're all together, and we have our speak on Saturday morning. That ends around about mid-morning, and we've got the rest of the day for fun and fellowship and friendship and having good time together and doing sports and leisure and whatever. And this is such a good event for developing our friendships, for spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. Then the next one is about me and us all together. That's where the weekend comes in, the me and us bit. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Now, do you know, it's interesting that they had that problem even then, people not coming to church because they didn't feel like it. Let us meet together. Let us come together in our prayer meetings, in our social gatherings, in our home groups, in small groups meeting together, twos and threes. And of course on Sundays. Let us not give up meeting together. Now, as we've looked at those, I hope that you haven't said, well, it's all well and good, but that's not me, to anything that's up there. I hope you haven't said that. I hope you haven't got that as a mindset. If you have, if you've said, that's not me, think again and talk to God about it. And you might want to talk to someone else about it and pray about it and let God give you his mindset. Okay, now after this comes, I'm going to cut my sermon really short because we want to have time to have communion. So I'm going to take out, I'm just going to briefly mention a couple of things. One is that he next gives us some warnings, okay? And he warns them against deliberately keeping on sinning after you've received the knowledge of the truth. Now, he's basically warning against total renunciation of Jesus Christ. He's talking here about falsely accusing Jesus, saying that Jesus wasn't God, Jesus wasn't, the blood of Jesus means nothing, etc., etc. And that's all an insult to the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about turning your back totally on God, and he and the result is only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire. So these are for those who turn totally away from God. Then he encourages people, because you and I are not in that group. I'm pretty certain you're not. And he then gives them encouragements. And to the Hebrews, he says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. And he goes on to speak about their suffering and the things they've persevered with. And it's basically saying, congratulations, well done. And in the same way, God sees our suffering. God sees our sacrifices. God sees our service. God sees our faithfulness. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. He's totally on your side. He feels your heartbeat. He desires you to know him, to love him. He wants to be with you all the time. He wants you to, well, he is with you all the time, but he wants you to know that. He wants you to feel that, experience that. Yeah, he's totally on your side. So he understands difficulties and traumas and troubles that you've had. And then the writer of Hebrews gives us four faithful decisions to consider. So that in verse 35, he says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And this demands decision. Okay? And these four are all decisions we have to make. And if we make these decisions and keep to them, they will be life-changing. There will be decisions that lead to a way of life. Yeah. So if I decide to trust God in all things, and something happens and it's not good and I'm feeling, oh, where is God? What's going on here? And then I remind myself, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to trust God anyway. Yeah. And if we keep doing that, we will find that it's a way of life, that we trust God anyway. And it's the source of Christian steadfastness. So, will you decide to trust God in all things? I will, is the correct response. Okay, so will you decide to trust God in all things?
I will.
Okay. Right. Then secondly, he says, decide to do the will of God. You need to persevere so that, this is verse 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. All right. So that's the reason why we persevere, so that we can do God's will. So will you decide to do the will of God? I will. Then he says, in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. That's about us living like Jesus is coming back soon. We got some of Jesus' heart, I felt, when Mel shared just before. And, you know, God's heartbeat is going to become more and more important to us, as was spoken to us when we had our day away a week ago. Sensing God's heartbeat and feeling God's heartbeat is going to become more and more important to us. And as we know, as we live like Jesus is coming back soon, that is also to do with connecting with Jesus' heartbeat. So will you decide to live like Jesus is coming back soon? Well, I hope you will. And lastly, he says, decide to not shrink back, but to persevere in faith. In verse 38, he says, I take no pleasure in the one who strikes back. One who shrinks back. So will you decide to not shrink back, but to persevere? The reason why I got you to say I will is because, do you know, when we speak, it can be creative. And I hope you'll remember that you said those I wills. I hope mostly you will take those thoughts away with you. You will look back at this passage. You will consider those four responses about the faith-filled actions, because they're there clearly written in Hebrews. You will consider these four faith-filled decisions. You will want to make those responses, and you will want to make those decisions. So let me pray. The writer of Hebrews finishes this passage, this section, by saying, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So, Father God, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who have faith and are saved. I pray, Lord, you would help us to draw near to you, to hold unswervingly to our hope in Christ, to spur one another on, to continue to meet together and encourage each other, to persevere in faith. May we make the decisions that will enable us to grow into the Christians that you want us to be, Lord God, to be the best possible me. Give us persevering and strong faith, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.